This is Ken Nesbitt with PoetryForKids.com, and today I'm speaking with Lee Bennett Hopkins. Lee, you have a pretty long and impressive career. I don't mean to make you feel old here, but I'll be 50 in a few months, and I know you've been promoting children's poetry as long as I've been alive.
Oh, my goodness. That's frightening.
Now, I know this is going back a long time, back to, you know, the early 60s when you started teaching elementary school in New Jersey. But can you tell me a little bit about what it was that first drew you to children's poetry?
It was as a teacher. I started teaching sixth grade. And I used poetry with children who really couldn't read well. And I found that poems were usually short, vocabulary was simple, and often they got more of an impact of feeling than an entire novel could produce in just a few lines. So poetry worked in my reading program with children. And I got hooked.
Yeah, so you're saying that because a child could read a page and get a lot out of it,
right?
That made
again,
it
again in 6 or 8 or 10 lines, they often got more out of it than an entire novel. And these were children who weren't the best readers, and they certainly could approach poetry.
Right. Now, your first anthologies were published. Because you've written many books of your own. You've also, I think, probably best known as an anthologist, collecting poems together for books of poetry by many different authors. And
right.
Were your first anthologies published when you worked for Scholastic in the 60s and 70s? Is that right?
My first collection was published in 1969. It was a book called Don't You Turn Back, Poems by Langston Hughes. It was published by Knopf shortly after Langston Hughes died, and it was the first book of his poems for children published since 1932 when he did The Dreamkeeper. So that was one of my first collections in 1969, I think. I was at Scholastic at the time. I was working at Scholastic.
Right, and I suppose that came about because you had been using poems by Langston Hughes with your own students, hadn't you not?
Just previous to my working at Scholastic, I worked in Harlem. And I was at a program in 5 all-black schools. And one of my job roles at Bank Street, after I had gotten my master's from Bank Street, was working in Harlem with children, introducing them to African-American literature. Mm-hmm. And, of course, poetry was a big part of it. But at that time, Ken, there were very few African-American poets to talk about. There was Langston Hughes, Gwendolyn Brooks, and a scattering of others. But certainly Langston Hughes was always one of my favorite poets.
Sure. Yeah, I understand. I think that at that time, you know, looking back to, say, 1969 there and before, there really weren't an awful lot of children's poets, period. Not just African-American poets, but, I mean, that was before, say, Shel Silverstein's Where the Sidewalk Ends.
Oh, my goodness,
was published. And
yeah.
So you would, I remember, because that's when I was growing up, and I was fascinated with children's poetry myself as a child. And that meant that at that time I would be reading Lewis Carroll and Edward Lear and, you know, poets from the 1800s because
right.
There wasn't anything from the 20th century aside from, say, Dr. Seuss. And
there were some major poets beginning in the 70s. For example, we did have David McCord, Aileen Fisher, Carla Kuskin. They were in the 70s, you know, Myra Cohn Livingston in the 80s.
Dennis Lee.
But they were far and few between.
Right. So I'm curious. I did a quick search for your name on Amazon.com, and you might be surprised to know that if you search for Lee Bennett Hopkins on Amazon.com, it turns up 543 results.
My goodness.
Now, that's not to say that you've published 543 books. Of course, that includes multiple formats and books
right.
about you and books in which your name appears and so forth. But that's still a very impressive number. I'm curious, are you able to keep count of how many books you've actually published?
I know I've done close to 200. And this year I was put in the Guinness Book of World Records for having done more anthologies of anyone else in the world. And at that time it was 113 anthologies.
My goodness. Wow. Well, and as a result, also, I see you've been winning some awards lately. I know in 2009 you won the NCTE Award, the National Council of Teachers of English Award for Excellence in Poetry for Children.
Right, it was a great honor.
And do I understand correctly that you were recently given the New Jersey Education Association Award for Excellence?
Next week. November 11th.
Are you getting on a plane to go accept that one?
No, I am not going. I have unfortunately, I had other things planned when this date came up, but they are honoring me at the luncheon.
if they have power. Well, with the snowstorms there. And speaking of awards, I just want to ask you very briefly, you founded two poetry awards, correct? The Lee Bennett Hopkins Poetry Award and the IRA Lee Bennett Hopkins Promising Poet Award.
Right.
So the Promising Poet Award is given for a poet with no more than two books of children's poetry. So that's to inspire and encourage new poets.
Exactly.
And then the Lee Bennett Hopkins Poetry Award is for what?
It's given every year by Penn State University,
mm-hmm.
And it's given to a book of poetry. It can either be a single volume of poetry or an anthology. I initiated that back in 1993, and it was the first and only award of its kind, and it still is.
Now, your name is on these awards, but do you actually participate in the award process? Do you help?
I do nothing at all. One of the criteria was that I would be, one, completely out of it, and two, I can't win it. So both awards are set up, for example, Penn State and IRA. They're set up by committees selected from people around the country. And actually, when the Pennsylvania award is announced, I'm the third to know.
Wow.
They call the publisher, the poet, and then me.
Okay.
And well, I like it that way.
Yeah, I have to imagine that might be embarrassing if you won your own award.
Yes, because too many of the poets are my friends.
Oh, well, that would be a good reason to not participate in the selection and judging process, correct?
No, I have nothing to do with the selection.
Yeah, okay. Well, now, I want to talk a little bit about your poetry and the poetry that you choose for anthologies, because it appears that you are, you know, let's put it this way. Obviously, I am more interested in humorous poetry. I'm drawn more to the humorous poetry, where it seems that you are drawn more to more serious poetry for children. And I'm just curious about the reason for your preference. I love them both, but I find myself naturally drawn more toward the humor. And I expect the same is probably true of you, except you're drawn more toward more serious poetry for children. Is that right?
Yes, there's nothing wrong with Life Earth, but, you know, I don't use that much of it. I think, you know, there's enough of it. You can't knock Silverstein. I mean, he's one of the geniuses of all time.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, children get a lot of that. And my aim is to try to get them, you know, I want them to read Life Earth. I think it's wonderful. They read Silverstein. They read you. They read Jack Prelutsky. There's a great need for that. You know, I want children to laugh and have a good time in their life. But I also try to lift them up a little bit, and I want to get them into some more serious verse and stuff to make them think a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Not that light verse doesn't always do that, but that's kind of one of my aims in life, to get them above, not above, but beyond light verse.
No, I completely understand. In fact, you know, I often myself, when I'm talking to teachers about poetry, I will say, you know, now, obviously I write humorous poetry, but this is not the end all and be all of poetry. It's a good place to start because, you know,
it
makes children laugh and it inspires them to actually want to read. But once you've got them hooked, then you need to start introducing them to Myra Cohn Livingston and Lee Bennett Hopkins and Langston Hughes and things like that to show them what else poetry can be and that it's not all just, you know, tickling the funny bone.
I love your philosophy, Ken.
Thank you. So now, tell me a little bit about your latest books. I see you have a new picture book and an anthology, I Am the Book, that came out earlier this year.
Yes. The picture book, Full Moon and Star, was published by Abrams this year. It's a departure for me because I haven't done a picture book in eons. So Full Moon and Star came out this year. And I have another picture book coming out next year, illustrated by Stephen Alcorn. We've done about six books together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's titled Mary Song, being published by Eerdmann, and it's a very different take on the birth of Christ and the Virgin Mary. The whole idea of the book is her quest to be alone with the child.
Mm-hmm.
It's a poetic prose piece that Stephen Alcorn is illustrating. I'm looking forward to having that published. I Am the Book is an anthology, of course, and it's a book of poems about books.
Wonderful. And Full Moon and Star is also a story of a couple of characters who are writing stories. Is that?
They're writing plays. It's a story of Kyle and Katie, two young children, who write plays about the universe together. And it's a very interesting volume because it's one of the first books in a long time that actually has many plays that children can actually perform. So it's a very, very exciting book. I'm very happy with it.
Yeah, it's a very good-looking book. Although I have to say, I'm particularly looking forward to your next poetry collection, Nasty Bugs.
Nasty Bugs is fun. It's illustrated by Will Terry.
Uh-huh.
It's coming out next year with Dial.
Right.
And it's about nasty bugs, like lice. And now, there's a lot of light verse in there, Ken, so you'll be happy.
Oh, I like it all.
X.J. Kennedy and J. Patrick Lewis and a couple other wonderful poets.
Sure. Well, I've noticed. Now, I have a son who was a reluctant reader, but I noticed that the one thing that appealed to him the most in books was anything disgusting. So, you know, books like, oh, it's disgusting and we ate it, or Grossology, or, oh, yuck, the encyclopedia of everything gross. You know, he would really, really get into those books. And so I have to imagine that a book like Nasty Bugs is going to have a lot of appeal for boys that might not otherwise like to read.
Well, Nasty Bugs is very nasty. Will Terry did a fabulous job with the artwork. It's really incredible full-color art.
Can't wait. So what are you working on these days, Lee? Anything new that you can tell my listeners about?
I'm always working on something new, Ken. I have in the works coming out a new young adult collection with Creative Editions called All the World's a Stage, which is based on Shakespeare's Seven Ages of Man monologues from As You Like It. That was quite an exciting collection to put together.
Mm-hmm.
It's a huge book, and it's being illustrated by Guy Belleau, a French artist who lives in America now. But it's quite a collection, again, based on the Seven Ages of Man from birth to death. Quite a spectacular collection, I think.
And tell us the name of that again.
all the world's a stage.
All right. And that will be out, you do say, in
next year.
In 2012.
Next spring.
Okay, yeah. Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, now, I wonder, Lee, you know, here's where I get a little self-indulgent. You know, I love to hear poets read their own work. And I wonder if you might have a poem or two that you could share with the listeners.
Sure. I'll share with you one from my recent book, City I Love, that came out with Abrams. The artist is Marcellus Hall, who did Full Moon and Star. But, of course, all the poems in City I Love are about the city. And here's a poem called Mother's Plea, which kind of just came to me one day in New York while I was riding on a train and looking out the window. Mother's Plea. Silence, sirens, hush all horns, quiet rumbling traffic roars. Please, city, have some pity. Promise me not one more beep. My newborn pigeons need their sleep.
That is so beautiful.
And I'll read you a kind of a signature poem. And I'm not going to tell you what year, I was selected as the National Children's Book Week poet, and I wrote a poem which almost became a signature poem. It's in a lot of anthologies, on a lot of posters,
okay.
And it's called Good Books, Good Times. Good books, good times, good stories, good rhymes, good beginnings, good ends, good people, good friends. Good fiction, good facts, good adventures, good acts, good stories, good rhymes, good books, good times.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Thank you.
Well, Lee, I want to say thank you very, very much for taking the time to talk with me today. And I wish you the best of luck in your future endeavors. And congratulations again on the New Jersey Education Award.
Thank you, Ken.
And have a great day.
And continued luck to you. Keep those wonderful, humorous poems coming for the children.
Thank you, Lee. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye, Ken.
Bye-bye. This is Ken Nesbitt with PoetryForKids.com. This has been an interview with Lee Bennett Hopkins, children's author and poet. The music today was provided by Kevin MacLeod.